Okay, so I'd like to welcome everybody. This is the 20th yahrzeit of my father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. This is actually a tradition that's been going on in Eretz Yisrael for, I'm not sure, for the last how many years that we've been getting together in Har Nof, and I've been able to say a few words, and my brother Rav Moshe would phone in and say the Dvar Torah.
For many years, we've been having the shir, and I'd like to thank at this point, Rabbi Murray Goldenhirsch, who every year hosts the shir in his garden, and Rabbi Baruch Kelman, who every year arranges the shir. And this year, we discussed and we decided that because of COVID, it would be better not to have the shir in a regular place. And I would say that, it's been a very difficult year, and a lot of times you have to make decisions. And you always wonder, am I making the right decision, wrong decision? And one thing I'm sure about, that any decision I made to be more safe is something my father would have approved of and himself would have done. Because when it came to issues of Chaim and Mavis, my father was very careful. And for that reason, we felt that we should have the Yahrzeit shir on Zoom, which would allow other people to participate also. So what I'd like to do, first I will say a few words, and then I'll give the microphone to my brother of Moshe. This past Yom Tov morning, I was walking to Shul, and after to speak on Yom Tov, and I had in my mind certain ideas I wanted to speak about, and now I was walking to Shul, as I usually do, the other thoughts coming through my head. And as I was walking the show, I remembered a Dvar Torah, I want to say a Dvar Torah, Shir, my father, used to give, if not every year, or almost every year, about Chag HaSukkos. And I thought that it was a amazing thing that he would be able to say over, sometimes many years, to be able to say over the same idea, of course, packaged differently. And he never felt like he was saying the same idea they said the year before. Because for my father, Torah was very dynamic and very alive. And therefore, if he was learning something one year, it was something which always appeared to him and always came to him to be something that was new. And because of that, this is the thought that popped in my head, and I thought that I would speak about that. My father, for many years, would speak about the two motives of the Chag HaSukkos. So we know that in Parshas Emor, the Kriya that we read the first day of Sukkos, the Hineret Yisrael, and the Chutzlars, they read about the first 2 days. So the Torah tells us, Vasukkos Teish Shivas Yomim, Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshiv B'Sukkos. So you should dwell in Sukkos for 7 days, and all the Ezrach B'Yisrael, all Jews, have to sit in Sukkos. Why? L'man Yegu De'Roseichem, in order that all your generations should know, because I caused Jews to dwell in Sukkos when I took them out of Eretz Mitzrayim. And the question of portion of Chazal deal with, what Sukkos are we talking about? So we know that there's Machlokes Tanoim, a Machlokes Chazal. Are the Sukkos that we're talking about, they are Mamash Sukkos, or they are Nani HaKavod? Now we're just saying, when we speak of an Ani HaKavod, Ani HaKavod means the Ani HaKavod that one of the Jewish people, the Ramban points out, they were there to protect Am Yisrael. So the Unchlis and Rashi, they explain that because Sukkos are Shabbos in Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really speaking about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking about the Ani HaKavod, Ani HaKavod. However, the Rashbam will explain this Kipshuto, that Sukkos Mamash. And the point of the Sukkos Mamash is that when, sometimes when we have plenty, Baruch Hashem, we're settled in our land and we have what we need to eat and we feel secure. So sometimes it's very difficult to remember what it was like when we didn't have anything at all. And it's important to remember what it was like and nothing at all, because when we remember what it was like and nothing at all, we seem to feel, we recognize and realize that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, after the harvest, after we brought everything in, the Chag HaAsif, when we're able to really be very happy with everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, we need this reminder, because the person might forget that, he might think, you know, that Tochi V'Otsim Yadi, Yossi Yotachai Al-Azeh, that I was able to accomplish all of these things because of my own abilities. It's all my own success. So for that reason, we have to remind ourselves the times when we had absolutely nothing. And when we have absolutely nothing, we had absolutely nothing in the Midbar. So therefore, when you had absolutely nothing in the Midbar, at that time, we remember, wow, we have nothing. And at that point, we know that we knew everything came from Baruch Hu, and that will remind us even now when we're able to have a very successful and a very productive Chag Asif, that everything we have, everything comes from our Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that is the sheet of the Rashbam to remind us, and we should always be aware of the fact that everything we have comes from our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Even Ezra also points out with the Rashbam that the reason why we have Sukkos is to remind us of the Sukkos, the Jews have the Midbar, not to celebrate Chag Sukkos and Chodesh Tishrei, not in Chodesh Nisan, when we came in Mitzrayim, is because it was really right around now that we needed the Sukkos as we need more protection. The Ramban, so he goes the Pshat of Rashi, it says it's the clouds. So Rebbe Bachaya points out that the sukkahs that we dwelled in were sukkahs mamish, they were booths. And the point of this mitzvah is not just to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu tikir of us, but also to show the greatness of Am Yisrael. That Am Yisrael himself, and Aruch HaShulchan quotes this, that Am Yisrael themselves, that they were willing to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar where they didn't have anything. You know, Komar Hashem, Zecharti, Lachas, Nirayach, Havas, Losayach, you followed me in the Midbar where you didn't have anything. And it shows the Hashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even when we have nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tikir of us. So it shows the greatness of Am Yisrael, and it shows also the not just the greatness of Am Yisrael, but it shows the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us. What I want to focus on is the Pshat of Yehuda HaChassid, and this is quoted by the Chaya Adam. And what are the sukkahs that we're referring to? So when the Jewish people came in to, before they entered Eretz Yisrael, not when the Jews left Mitzrayim, because when the Pasuk says, Ki besukkahs hashavti es b'nei Yisrael, so you could think and say, when God took us out of Mitzrayim, what is Eretz Mitzrayim? Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Tishrei. But the truth is, we were in the process of leaving Egypt for 40 years. We were leaving Egypt and going to Eretz Yisrael. So until we got to Eretz Yisrael, we were in the process of leaving Egypt. So for that reason, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and the Chaya Adam, not necessarily quoting the Chassid, says that what are the sukkos that our Kaddish Baruch Hu causes to dwell in? So Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says, when we went ahead and we lived in booths, when we're ready to fight Sichron and Og, because when they used to go ahead and would fight battles, they would have to make for themselves booths. So Besukos Hoshavti Es B'nei Yisrael, when we left Egypt, is referring really to the end of the 40 years, when the Jewish people were about to go to Israel, and they started conquering Eretz Israel, Eretz Sichron, Eretz Og. These are the Sukkos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remember. And the Chaya Adam adds and says, and what's the point of this? The point of this is for us to realize when we're living in Eretz Yisrael and we're secure in Eretz Yisrael, to remember a time we didn't have Eretz Yisrael. We have to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is only ours because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. Sort of an emphasis of the first Rashi and beginning of Bereishis, to realize everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the sukkahs are to remind us that we are here only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when I saw the Chaya Adam, it reminded me that my father used to speak of the two motives of Chag HaSukkos, because we know that if we're going to go ahead and we're going to describe various Chagim, what the essence, what the mitzvah of the Chag is, so of course Pesach is Matzah, Hashanah Shofar, if we're going to go ahead and describe the mitzvahs of Chag HaSukkos, so there's two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah Sukkah, the Sukkah Teshuv Shivas Yomim, and one mitzvah is the mitzvah of Arba Minim, Lulav, Esrog, Adasim, and Aravos. And, you know, a lot of times you would think that many of the mitzvahs are of a chagim come together, and they're really very appropriate and they're very similar to each other. My father pointed out that these two mitzvot, sukkah and arba minim, are diametrically opposed. Why? Because what does a sukkah symbolize? A sukkah symbolizes the fact that, you know, because we live in our houses, Baruch Hashem, we can lock, we can go ahead and we can lock the door to our houses every single day. Before I go to sleep, I make sure the trees to my merpestet is locked and merpestet is locked because you never know who's going to go ahead and who's going to climb, who's going to climb onto the merpestet. So you want to lock, you want to go and lock your sukkah, lock all your doors. We feel very secure in our houses and we lock the doors and we feel very secure. However, come sukkah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us, you know what? I want you to go ahead and I want you to leave your secure environment. And I want you to come into this. I want you actually to feel insecure, like you're not rooted. You're sleeping in a hut. You're exposed to the elements. You're exposed to the dangers. Now, obviously, in a dangerous place, you don't have to go into a sukkah. But here, on some level, we are exposed to the dangers of what's out. Leave the security of our house. We leave the security of our house. On sukkahs, we are following, I would say, in the path of Avraham Avinu. Why in the path of Avraham Avinu? I'll come back to the second point. Because, as my father used to say, when HaKadosh Baruch, when Avraham Avinu wanted to buy the Maris HaMachpelah, and he went to the citizens and to the Necheis, and they referred to HaKadosh Avinu as a prince, Avraham Avinu responds, Ger Toshav Nochi HaMachem, I'm a Ger. I'm a convert, but a gear, my father would explain, was a gargir like a seed. And what is a gargir, a seed? And what is a seed? A seed can be blown from one place to another place. And Avraham Avinu said, you know, on one hand, he said, I'm a gear. I'm a seed. I only have no roots. And that's the reason why I actually need to ask for a kever. Because in those days, people who had roots would have kapar, would have graves. So Avraham Avinu says, gear besoshiv nochi yamachem. I am a seed. I'm going place to place. I have no roots. And for that reason, I'm asking you a favor. I'm asking you to please go ahead and to please give me, to please give me a kever. And that is the motive of Chag HaSukkos. The motive of Chag HaSukkos is that we have to go ahead and realize no matter what we have, you know, our existence is so fragile. We don't know all the security, everything that we're able to bring in, everything that we are proud of that we have accomplished. We can lose in the second. We have to realize that everything merely comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea of what the Rashbam says. To realize we went in the Midbar, we had nothing. To realize everything we have now is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we all lose it. And a Jew has to always recognize that he is a ger. And I think that that would explain Rabbi Yehudah Chassid and Chaya Adam. What's the idea of remembering the wars of Sichron and Og that we went, that we have to be in Booth? What's the point of remembering it? The point is very simple, because when we are in Eretz Yisrael, we have to remember those times. We have to go ahead and we have to remember those times that we were not secure. That's the motive of Chag HaSukkos. So when, you know, there is an individual level that we, every Jew has to realize no matter what he has, what he's accomplished, what he's amassed, it's only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he could lose it. And that's the reason for the sukkah, to remind him that he leaves security, he only has HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rely on. And on the national level, when we're feeling secure in Eretz Yisrael, we have to always feel like everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to always feel like everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the motive of the Chag HaSukkos itself, to go ahead and to leave the house, to recognize everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, you know, to only feel like our whole existence is fragile, is temporary, can be a very bad thing. And we also have to realize that we can accomplish, there is definitely a sense of accomplishment that every Jewish person has, every human being should have. And the Arba Minim, my father explained, represents the bountiful harvest the Jews had at that time. We're coming before, we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Lula, the Esrog, Adas, and Aravos, represents the plants and represents the harvest. And we come and we say we're actually very proud. We're very proud of what we accomplished. We feel very, we go ahead and we feel very secure. The Torah mentions the Medrash that, one of the ideas of the Arba Minim is that, you know, we just had a battle over Yom Neroyim, let's say, of the Satan. And the question is, who is victorious? Were we victorious, or was the Satan victorious? And we come of our weapons, and we show the one who is victorious usually is the one who has the right to bear arms. And these are the arms that we're bearing. What we're doing is we're going ahead. We are bearing these arms and showing that we're victorious. Yes, that we actually have some theos. We were able to go ahead, and we've accomplished, and we feel strong, and we feel very secure. And that's the second motive of Chag HaSukkos, of the lulav of the Esrog d'Arvaminim, represents the bountiful harvest of weapons to show we are secure, we can accomplish. And that's what Avraham Avinu said. Avraham Avinu said to the Bnei Chais, Ger v'Soshav, on one hand, he felt like a ger, but even though he felt like a ger, he also felt like a toshav. He had to feel strong. You have to feel strong. And that is the motive of the Arba Minim. So in Sukkot, we always have to go ahead and we have to remember these two. Do us feel like, you know, he's a ger. He's, and that's the message of Chag HaSukkos. So my father used to say from the Torah of Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Zechatas Matrayim, Shalyalu Lalot, Lachlan, they didn't go to celebrate Chag HaSukkos. And the question is, my father used to always ask, why does the Navi emphasize it didn't celebrate Chag HaSukkos? Chag HaSukkos is not a holiday that the non-Jews will understand. Chag HaPesach, freedom. Everyone speaks about freedom. But the idea of Sukkos, why should Mitzrayim be punished for celebrating Chag HaSukkos, not celebrating Chag HaSukkos? The father said, that's exactly the point. The Mitzrayim themselves, they know how to celebrate the holiday of the Arba Minim. They understand to celebrate the fact that they're secure. But the non-Jews don't know how to celebrate the holiday of being secure, of being secure in their existence, the security of knowing and understanding. The non-Jews know how to celebrate the fact that they are secure, but they can't celebrate the fact that their existence is fragile, is only temporary. And that's the chait of Mitzrayim. And the challenge of the Jew is to really to be a ger v'toshav. And that's what we work on Chag HaSukkos. On one hand, we have to be confident. We have to feel like we've accomplished. In Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, we've accomplished so much in our short history, the Jewish people, in terms of everything across the board. On the other hand, and even though we've accomplished so much, sometimes we don't feel proud enough, we don't feel secure enough. My father used to always say that when we say in the Vidu, Yashamnu Mikolom, Boshim Mikoldor, that we're more difficult than other nations, he used to ask, we're more sinful than any other nation, Yashamnu Mikolom, we're more sinful? He says, why are we more sinful? He says, in this area we're more sinful, because we don't feel secure like we're supposed to feel. We don't celebrate Chag HaSukkos enough. However, the Chag HaSukkos aspect, we do know how to celebrate, and we have to look at ourselves how to celebrate not just the Chag HaSukkos aspect of feeling fragile, feeling temporary, but also Chag HaAsav. We have to go ahead and we have to celebrate the fact that we are secure. And those are two motives of Chag HaSukkos. And even in our personal lives, we have to feel like whatever we accomplished came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all Matana, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take it away in just a second. In 1 second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take it away. And for that reason, we go into the Sukkah to recognize, remember that, and to learn that lesson. However, side by side of that lesson is very important also to remember the Chag HaAsav aspect, that we as Jews have accomplished so much, and we have a right to demand. We're a ger v'soshav. We have rights, and we have a right to demand those rights, and if we don't, it's a sin. And as individuals also. And that is a dual aspect. That is a dual aspect of Sukkos, the two motives that we have to learn, and we have to go ahead, and we have to remember. And I would just, in conclusion, the reason why I mention this, because as I was walking the show, you know, I was thinking that it was amazing the father could go ahead and he'd be able to say this, you know, and if he didn't say it every year, he would say it every other year. And when he said it, he didn't feel like, if I would say over something that I said a year before, I said this last year, he always felt like it was something very new. He told me a story once. I was obviously not even there. One year, on Yom Kippur night, he gave over, he said over his drasha, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur drasha. And afterwards, Maria, the Knesset Maria had a chazan. The chazan over him said to him, Rabbi Soloveitchik, he gave the same drasha 3 years ago, Kol Nidre night. So my father said to him, I don't understand, you're a chazan. And every single year, you say the same exact nusach, the same exact tunes. And I never complain to you. And in 1 year, I give the same drasha that I gave 3 years ago. And all of a sudden, you come and you have kindness upon me, complaints against me. That is, I think my father felt that, you know, the Torah was always new, no matter what it was. For him, it was always chadashos. I remember, I think when I was learning Yerideya with him, and for all those who are my father's shir, and my father, the three-year cycle. And every 3 years, he would start over again. Whether it was Shechita, or it was Treifis, or it was Taruvis, Pasachav, Malicha, Hilchas Nida, Hilchas Mekvos. And I remember listening to him, I think it was the sixth cycle. And he was learning Maseches Chulin. He always started with the first perek. Hakol Shofnei Shitasim Shera. And I was sitting there, I was running with him, whatever I was doing. And to me, it sounded like he was learning it for the first time. It's like he didn't go quickly. He really went through the sugya. Everything went ahead, and it was all new to him. And I think that was the way he learned. As a matter of fact, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha Ches. And I remember it's in my father. I remember my father talking about it also in the way he described it, and it was actually in the Sefer. He doesn't write it this way, but when he spoke about it, whether in Shir or he told me about it, so he said the Rambam basically said like this: Kol Yishmi Yisrael Chayv Talmud Torah Ben Ani Ben Asher Ben Shalom Meguvan Ben Bal Yisurim Ben Bachar Ben Shai Yizakin. Every single Jew has to learn Torah. It doesn't make a difference, you know, what his experiences are. Be sick, poor, and my father asked the question. I don't understand. Where do we see anywhere else in the Rambam says someone who is not feeling well has to put on tefillin, somebody who's not feeling well has to wear tzitzis, someone who's not feeling well has to daven. The Rambam just says it right over here. Why behelchos Talmud Torah? And my father said because when it comes to Talmud Torah, it's very different than any other mitzvah. Why? Because in the mitzvah, someone's in pain and he's still pain. You know, still feel the pain. Someone's sick. He still might feel sick. My father said, when it comes to Talmud Torah, when a person learns Torah, no matter what, he's the pain. He's feeling sick. So when he goes ahead and he starts to learn, suddenly Rambam says, when it comes to Limud Torah, it doesn't make a difference what his challenges are, because he'll forget his challenges once he starts learning Torah. And then he said, he gave an example. Look at myself, he said. Look at me. He says, you know, I'm such a Baal Yisurim, feel so much pain. And look what happened. I'm able to go ahead and I forget everything. Why? Because I think when my father learned, it was that everything became new to him. It wasn't like he learned it the one time before or 10 times before. It was always new. Okay, just like I pointed out, the Zvar Torah he gave every year, he didn't say the same idea. It was always something new. How did my father accomplish that? That always something was new. So in this, he explained when he learned this Rambam, he saw himself. Everything that he learned, he really, the idea is just to learn, even though he learned Lishma. But everything he learned, he saw it as alive and as very practical and became part of him. So that was, he could always learn something new and it became part of him. I'll just finish off that I remember just another Gemara that I remember my father, when he talked to Gemara in Shir, he brought himself as Shabbos. Gemara talks about the difference in S. The Gemara says in Shabbos that it's parak. That area has a very strong base, has two legs in the bottom, and Sheker stands, is Shards of a Shin, which is a very, very weak base, the very point in the bottom. And therefore, Sheker is handicapped, and Emes is very strong. So remember my father in Shir, he asked the question, like, how do we understand this Gemara he says? It seems that Sheker is doing very well, and everyone's running from MS. And he said, it's very simple, he says. He said about himself, I'm like the Shin also, because I'm handicapped. So everyone runs to help me. They push me in a wheelchair, they want to help me, because of course that I'm very strong. He says, so Sheker gets all the help. But MS, really, without the help, stands here very strong. And I think that every time my father would learn, he would learn the Gemara, whether it's whatever he learned, he saw it was alive. It wasn't something that was something about, you know, was something about the future, something about the past. It was alive in him. And because it was alive in him, so because of that, it overtook him and it changed him. And he really, while he was learning, he forgot everything else that might have been bothering him. And for that reason, he could say over this idea of the double motives of Sukkos every year and give a drasha for an hour, hour and a half. And he never felt like he was saying the same drasha because it was always something new. Because the Torah that my father taught, the Torah that my father learned, was something which affected him. Why did it affect him? Because everything he learned, he tried to learn from. And because of that, his the level of his learning really changed him. As we all know, anyone who saw my father learn, you know, when he opened his Gemara, he forgot all his pain. He was like a different person. And I would think that one of the lessons we learned from my father is that whatever we learn, anything we learn, we should try to see how does it affect our life, how does it apply to our life, and make the Torah alive for every one of us. Whatever we're learning should become alive for every one of us. And now I'm going to thank you all for joining. I'm going to turn over the microphone to my brother Rav Moshe.
All right, you know, it's always a problem. One hand we have the art site, always the second day Chol Hamoed Sukkos. By you, it's the third day Chol Hamoed Sukkos. And on the other hand, Sukkos is Matzav Kaseinu. And this always seems to be a conflict. But I think that there are certain aspects of Sukkos that, on the contrary, plays a role in understanding the significance of Yahrzeit. The Torah says, why do we sit in the sukkah? L'man yedu dorasechem ki basukko so shaptis b'nei Yisrael meretz Yisrael. And it's very interesting. When you take a look at the sukkah, there is a mitzvah. And it's interesting. My father was makir. He never pushed it on others. But whenever he would walk into the sukkah, certainly in the evening, he was very careful about saying du spisa. And it was somewhat odd to me because these are not the type of minhagim that so to say were part of our family tradition. I can't talk about the shpisa in particular. And the question is, why is the shpisa? You bite Avram, you bite Yitzchak, you bite Yaakov, Yosef. Okay, there's a machlokis where in what order? But what's the purpose of the shpisa In the sukkah and on sukkahs? What's the connection? Now, but I think the question is, what does it mean, l'man yedu dorasechem, ki besukho so shafi es b'nei Yisrael and Mitzrayim? What is yedu? They should know. So why do I have to sit in the sukkah? I can read about sukkahs. It's not, in order to know, I could hear a speech. I could learn. Why do I have to sit in sukkah? Now, the Rambam at the beginning of the Arach HaZakah, the Rambam says, Yisod HaYisodos V'amur HaChochmos Leida Shom Sheyesh Shom Matzu Rishon. There is one who was first, before anything else, was always there, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But instead of saying, and all the Mepharshim pointed out, the Rambam doesn't use the word Amuna. The one who translated the Sefer Mitzvahs put the word Amuna in. Rav Chaim Heller discussed it in his notes on the Sefer Mitzvahs. My father discusses it somewhat also in his Sefer. But he uses the expression Yediya, Leida, to know. What is the difference to know and to believe? But my uncle mentions in Al Tshuva that Leida doesn't mean that the Halacha wants us to study the proofs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence given by Aristotle, even the proofs, which were the same proofs, mentioned by the Rambam Bar Nevuchim. But he says, B'chol drachecha deihu, wherever you go, know God. In other words, when you walk out in the street and you see the sun rising or the sun setting, it's not just the sun rising and the sun setting. It's God raising the sun and God controlling nature. You have to see God. You have to penetrate nature. You have to penetrate history. You have to see the hand of God in everything. So the idea of Leida is to experience. So Sukkot, the mitzvah of Sukkah, is Leida. It's not just to know. It's not just to remember. It's to experience. We know people today check their ancestry. It's a big thing, big business. But it's not enough to know that there were past generations. It's important to experience past generations. We talk about the Golem of former generations. It's not enough to know that there were Golem and who they were. In a sense, when we learn, we have to experience as if they're standing there. When you learn a Chiddush Rabbeinu Chaim, it's not just a book that you're reading. Reb Chaim is learning with you. And I think this is the idea of Yahrzeit also. The idea of Yahrzeit is that when we have to experience, not enough to remember, to come together to remember. We have to experience. And unfortunately, today, the concept of re-experience or experiencing is something that people really don't understand. And my father, I think it's important, especially when you do. My father would always raise, the Ramban actually raises the question by the Akedah, the Hashem Nisus Abraham, God tested Abraham. So why did God have to test Abraham? HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly knew that Abraham would pass the test by the Akedah. But the Ramban says, L'hotzi me'akoach alapoel, to take it from the state of the potential into the state of the actual. My father would explain, what's the idea to take it from the state of the potential into the state of the actual? My father would say, to take it from the state of the potential into the state of the actual is HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew. But sometimes people don't know their own abilities. And because they don't know their own abilities, they don't galvanize their strength. And this was an idea that my father would say over and over and over. A person has to galvanize their strength. A teacher has to get his students to galvanize his potential. My father would always quote psychologists that say that we only use a small percentage of our potential. He would talk about those that were mentally handicapped, that the idea is to get them to use more of their potential. So the idea is, Lahotzmiya Kochel Polo, Abraham had to know. And that Abraham had to know. And it was Hashkafashira. My father would emphasize it and emphasize it. But I think there's another possible, not necessarily what the Ramban means. Lahotzmiya Kochel Polo could be understood in another way also. There are certain things that cannot be taught just by lectures, by speeches, by shiurim, but it has to be taught by example. And if there's anybody who taught by example the idea of galvanizing one's potential in spite of hardships, it was my father. People, when he had his stroke, it was a severe stroke. The neurologist that took care of him said afterwards, he said that another person Any other person who had that type of stroke would have just sat down the rest of his life in a rocking chair. And what did my father do? The first day, the day of the stroke itself, he wrote an article how he was able to sense his neshama as a result of the stroke. The idea of bitachon and emunah. Bitachon and emunah is not just a topic to talk about. If you want bitachon and emunah, you have to see it. And those that were close to my father, they were able to see bitachon and emunah. Because my father taught by example. Now, my father, in terms of Torah, learning, it wasn't something that he did. That was something that was just so natural to him. It was natural for him. Rav Hutna Zatzal said about my father, I was told, he was said that Rav Hutner was my father's Rebbe when my father was 12 years old. For 1 year, my grandfather went to America. So Rav Hutner said that my father had Chibas HaTorah from the cradle. In other words, as a young boy, that was just his natural disposition. And it was very interesting. You know, there were a lot of things that took place. There would be meetings in the house. And in the middle of the meetings, you would see that my father, on one hand, would participate in the meetings, and at the same time, his mind was only involved in learning Torah. I mean, my father, I think when he slept, he was thinking of the Divrei Torah also. But it was more than that. There are so many cases that we could learn from. I remember as a young boy walking with my father on the Lower East Side. And there were many survivors of World War II there. Truth of the matter is, I don't know whether this was. And there was a person who was an alcoholic. Many of the survivors became alcoholics. And he fell down in the snow. And different than you would expect today, there was a whole group of 10 people that ran over to pick him up. And once they got him up, I would say 8 of them left. And then my father, together with another one, held the person up and were walking him. And that person, after a block, left. And my father continued walking with a person he didn't know. He didn't know who he was. He walked him to his house. If you say this over as a story, it's a story. It's interesting. The famous story where when my father was a young boy, when I was a young boy, my father would always be concerned when I was waiting for the train. He would make me stay by the wall. He was scared when I went too close to the tracks and the subway. And then later on, I found out, not from my father, but from other people, the story. And the story is that when he was a young person and he was in the train, there was an anti-Semite who was somewhat deranged. And that anti-Semite, was a lady, I think, pushed him on the tracks. But in the process, she also fell on the tracks. And my father got up out of the tracks, and then he helped her get out of the tracks. And there was a Catholic priest there, and the Catholic priest went over to my father and he said, "What's your name?" And my father said, "Aaron Soloveitchik." So the Catholic priest said to him, "Bless me, I never saw a person as holy as you." And I remember I told this story over to somebody who repeated it to another person. A person who was somewhat hostile to my father. And the person's reaction was, "I don't believe it. It's not true." So the person repeated it to me. I said, I understand why he doesn't believe it, because no one would ever imagine that this person would do it. Not just that person, who was somewhat problematic, but almost no one would act that way. So when you hear stories, it's stories. But with my father, we were able to experience his concern for human life, as my brother mentioned, and every human being's life. And if a person had trouble, my father was always there. My father would help people who were facing jail sentence. He would go to Washington. He got sick. People, not people who necessarily were his supporters, but people who worked against him. But a Jew was in trouble. So he went to Washington to speak on their behalf. He sent letters on their behalf. Who would do such a thing? But this is something that he had in the Torah. It was the Masorah of Reb Chaim. It was the Masorah of my grandfather, Reb Moshe. But it was all based on experience. You say this over, it doesn't mean anything. It's just something that people could repeat. And other people will... And my father had this special ability that not only were we able to experience the traits of my grandfather, Reb Moshe, the traits of his rebbeim were within him. And when he was able to convey to someone that was a Talmud of his, besides the learning, listen, my father's involvement in Talmud Torah. My father, when he was 5 years old, Reb Chaim Ozer gave him a bechina on the 40 generations listed in the Masorah and the Rambam. Reb Chaim Ozer was very impressed that a five-year-old boy knew all 40 generations by heart. And I mentioned Reb Huttner said about him that he was keep us a Torah from the cradle. And Rav Huttner told my father to make up his own bar mitzvah drasha. My grandfather was in America at the time. And it went later on, when my father, before he left Europe, he went to visit his uncle, the Brisker Rav in Brisk, and he told him over the Chiddush Torah. So the Brisker Rav said to him, the Zayda hat gesagt das. That was a shiur that Reb Chaim gave in Valozhin. And it was one of the special shiurim that later found its place. At that time, Kedusha Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi was not yet printed. So his greatness in Torah from his youth was well established. But I think even more important, in addition to all of that, was the character traits that we can learn from him. And from him, we learned, in a sense, we not only experienced my father, but we experienced Reb Chaim, we experienced my grandfather. When he said over a piece of Torah, it wasn't from the Chiddush Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi. It was, he was telling over his own experience, and it was done in such a way that we were able to, in a sense, like, it created a connection between us and Reb Chaim, not just between us and the Chiddush Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi. And I remember the first year, my father was in Chicago, and my father gave the shiur right before Yom Kippur. And the shiur was to explain a certain incident in Reb Chaim's life, how Reb Chaim would ask Mechila where it wasn't necessary. And he explained it al pi halacha, and the boys found it very strange. They said, that's just the story. They didn't understand that there are certain people that the stories about them, that's learning itself, that's Torah itself. To them, Masorah was given over in Shiurim. To them, Masorah was given over in Sfarim. But the idea that Masorah was given over by the way people acted, that was something that was foreign in Chicago. Later on, the later generations of the Talmidim began to understand that. Why? Because they were able to experience my father. And those who experienced my father, they also, in a sense, experienced Reb Chaim and all that. I just want to say, over a short Dvar Halacha, and the question is about Tefillin Chalamoed. We're in the middle of Chalamoed now, and there is a big machlokas whether to wear Tefillin Chalamoed, not to wear Tefillin Chalamoed. And those who say, what's the question? The question is, Tefillin is an os, it's a sign, and Yontif is a sign. What's the sign of Yontif? Is it the Issa Melacha? Is the work asur, or is it the mitzvahs of the day? Or is the os, the sukkah, the lulav, the matzah, the chametz, the Issa chametz? What's the os? What's the sign? So if you say it's the mitzvahs of the day, or the dushas hayom, as Reb Chaim would say, so then if you would say that. So then we do not wear tefillin chalamoed, because chalamoed has mitzvos, chalamoed has dushas hayom, it has the holiness of the day. But if you say it's the yisum alacha, that's the prohibition of doing work, that's the yos that prevents us from having a requirement to put on tefillin, so then we could say it depends whether malacha and chalamoed is us or biblically, midiraisa or midirabana. The problem is, Rashi says that malacha chalamoed is asa midiraisa, and Rashi's opinion is that you put on tefillin. So whatever the os is, whatever the sign is, if the os is the sitting in the sukkah, so you shouldn't put on tefillin. If the os is the malacha, he holds it's asa midiraisa. So how does Rashi say that you put on tefillin and chalamoed? So my father said, Chalamoed is different than Yontif. Yontif, there's a losa said, it's an Isur. You're not allowed to do malacha. Chalamoed, even if it's midyaraisa, certain malachas you're not allowed to do. It's a chiyuv, it's a requirement to refrain. The yos is just a losa said. It's the Isur, the prohibition, not the chiyuv. Oh, that's how my father answered. I want to suggest something else. I want to suggest that Chalamoed connects the 2 days of Yontif. I want to suggest that Chalamoed derives its importance not from itself, but from Yontif. Yontif, in the Gdusha of Yontif, spreads out to cover the Chalamoed. So when is it an os? If the dusha is the dusha of the day itself, the sanctity of the day itself. But if the dusha is a dusha that spreads out, then it's not an os. And I want to say, you have Shavuos, for example, has no chalamoed. The dusha is contained in that one day. However, when it comes to Pesach and Sukkot, the dusha spreads out from the Yontif into the Chalamoed. So it's not an os because it's not its own dusha, only a day that has its own sanctity is a dusha. But if it gets its dusha from another day, then from Yontif, then it's not an os, it's not a sign. I want to suggest that in a sense, the idea is to take the dusha and spread it out. My father did that. The dusha, he didn't contain the dusha. The dusha wasn't something that stayed only with him. The attitudes that he had, the dusha he spread out to others, to his talmidim, to people who he had contact with, to the people he had influence with. Many of the leading poskim today in America were all talmidim of his. I don't have to go into it, who their names were. I'll just say that Rav Moshe Tomashov. He was the Talmud Chaver of Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer. He was considered one of the greatest Gaonim in the old days in America. And you can understand that Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer was the father-in-law of Baruch Tatlak. So Rav Moshe Tomashov, who was the Talmud Chaver of Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer. So he, whenever there was a shaila that had to do with modern things, he would tell the people to call my father. And my father was not happy about it because he felt he was too young to pass the shaila. It isn't like the people today that they learn a siman in Mishnah Berurah and they declare themselves close to him. So my father, and so Rav Moshe Tomashov, so my father called up Rav Moshe Tomashov and he said to Rav Moshe Tomashov, he's too young to paskin shilas. So Rav Moshe Tomashov said, when it comes to the modern shilas, there is no one who can paskin as well as you. And you have a chiyuv to paskin shilas. And then, when my father was quite very young, Rav Henkin, he had my father on his Besdin. My father was a dayan on Rav Henkin's Besdin. And it's interesting, Rav Henkin, when his grandson had to go to learn, he sent his grandson to my father to learn in my father's shir. And he would constantly call my father because of the people he assaulted. Rav Henkin came in contact with everybody. But apparently he felt that the one who could teach Torah best and Rav Henkin's focus was on halacha, was my father. So when he had to pick a yeshiva, to pick a Rebbe for his grandson, he picked my father as the Rebbe for his grandson. Now, but while it's true that the Dusha of Yontif has to emanate to Chalamoed, it's certainly true in regard to Sukkot. Sukkot is different than Pesach. Pesach each day was the same carbon. It was the same thing. Sukkot wasn't each day the same thing. Each day was a different carbon. What's the idea behind it? Pesach commemorates one event, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. Everything is the same. It's 7 days that we're celebrating the same event. But what is Sukkot? Sukkot, we're commemorating HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking the Jewish people 40 years through the desert. The Torah asks the question, why don't we, Danani HaKavod, why don't we celebrate it in Nisan? That's when the Jewish people went out. The answer is, but after the Torah didn't want it in Nisan. Because Danani HaKavod was not something limited to the days the Jewish people went on Mitzrayim. It went 40 years in the Midbar. It was ongoing. Now, when you talk about one event, it's the same thing. But when you're celebrating 40 years in the desert, every day is different. There are certain people that they can give over to Hashkafa, but they can't deal with changing events. My uncle would say that what was it that the brothers felt threatened by Yosef? The brothers felt threatened by Yosef because Yosef's had a dream, and in the dream, Anachnu Malvim Alumim, we're in the fields, we're farmers, we're harvesting. And they, for the most part, they were always shepherds. He was going to say, things are changing. And they felt threatened where the situation is the same. They felt sure there won't be any problems, but they were scared of changing situations. And my father dealt with many different situations. The situation in New York that he had was one situation. The situation in Chicago, and Chicago each day was a different situation. He couldn't have the exact same approach. Of course, the halacha remained the same. There are some people that if the situation changes, the only way they can deal with it is changing the halacha. There was a time when in Chicago they felt changing situations was to change the nature of the shuls. to take out the mechitzas. And when they took out the mechitzas, it wasn't just the mechitzas that were taken out. Kashrus fell, not by the rabbis, Kashrus Shalom, but by the people. Chinuch HaTaras HaKodesh changed. Everything changed. But you have to know how to deal with changing situations as well. And also with Talmidim. You have to, each Talmid is different. Each Talmud is different, and you have to have a different approach for each Talmud, for each student. My father was able to do this because he understood each individual. And why did he understand each individual? He understood each individual because he felt the individual was important. There are leaders, Rosh Hashivas, leaders of Klal Yisrael, that see themselves as leaders of Klal Yisrael. They're trying to help the Jewish nation. But in order to be a true leader of Klal Yisrael, you have to know how to help Reb Yisrael, the individual Jew as well. And this is a trait that my father had. And my father, it didn't make a difference if a person was very capable. Today, yeshivas, the future of Klal Yisrael is in the best learners. My father did not have that opinion. My father felt he would always say that the strength of a chain is based on its weakest link, because the Kedusha emanated from him to others also. It went from Yontif to Chol HaMoed. And ultimately, the Chol HaMoed leads to another Yontif. If the Kedusha can go from one Yontif into the Chol HaMoed can then lead to another Yontif. And this, I think, was the thing. Of course, my father was very involved when it involved Klal also. But where he was special was we're involved individuals, because to him, every Jew was important. The whole is equal to the sum of its parts. But if you're not concerned about the parts, you can't have the whole. And this was the uniqueness. This is the lesson that we can learn from my father. We have the former generations in the sukkah with us, not just stories that we heard. Rosh Hashanah, we read about the former generations, about Abraham, about the Akedah, about Sarah. We read about the Avos, but it's more than that. We have to keep the Avos with us. So this, on this yard site on Sukkot, it's important that we should observe the yard site, not just about hearing, but in our minds. It's a man yedu darasechem. We have to experience, and by experiencing my father's presence, remembering that, we will not only keep him alive in our lives, but we'll keep Reb Chaim and the Beis Levi and my grandfather alive as well. Because through my father, they become our Rebbeim as well. Okay.
Hey, thank you. I like this inclusion. First of all, thank my brother Moshe for joining. I'd like to thank everyone for joining on the 23rd site. And I'd also like to mention that I thank Rabbi Goldenhirsch and Rabbi Kelman before, but all the Talmidim who every year make an effort to come to Har Nof. And the Mirtz Hashem, everyone should stay healthy, and we should all be able to meet in Eretz Yisrael. Thank you very much. Everyone should have a good Moed Moedim L'Simcha. Thank you all for joining.